All right, we are recording now, and I am so delighted to welcome you all here to this, our Collegial Conversation series at the UUMA. I am Melissa Carvel-Zimmer. I'm the UUMA's Director of Ministries for Collegial Care, and so happy to be a host for this series in general and for this particular conversation today, which is on the Ministry of Spiritual Direction. And I am so delighted that so many people are here to be part of this time, and really grateful and pleased to be able to introduce you to our colleague who will be our leader for today, and that is Reverend Tandy Rogers. Many of you have had the opportunity to work with Tandy or to be a student in her classes or collaborator, as Tandy has been in leadership for many, many years as a credentialed religious educator, as a Unitarian Universalist minister, and a certified spiritual director. I think I counted seven or eight titles on the UUA staff that you've held over the years, Tandy, working with youth and young adults and growth and leadership and congregations and innovation. And one of the things that Tandy is really good at is sparking creative ideas and following the flow of energy in the service and ministry. And the development of the spiritual direction program at Meadville Lombard Theological School is evidence of that gift. And Tandy is faculty in that program. So we couldn't be in better hands for this conversation. I am really grateful to you for saying yes to this invitation, Tandy. Thank you for coming. Thank all of you for being here. And I will turn it over to you now.
Thank you so much, Melissa. This feels like a holiday. I can't, this is fantastic. What a great turnout for people who are interested in spiritual direction and the direction that we can possibly go with that. If people would, we have a large group, and so doing individual check-ins is like, wow. If you would put in the chat your name, your pronouns, and where you're calling in from. And what is the weather like where you are? I'll put that in the chat too. Being a lot of cold and a lot of snowy for those of you who are watching this after the fact. And people are calling in from all over the place. So this is an absolute delight. I'm seeing some cold, but bright and sunny. And some freezing. And so I hope wherever you are, you have some warm blankets around you and you're comfy and you have something warm to drink with you. So let's do it. I'd like to open with a chalice lighting if you have something nearby. And then I have a reading, a poem that I'm going to invite us into just kind of taking on. I'm seeing some fairly warm places that people are also. That's good. Going to read a poem by John O'Donohue, one of my go-to people. And I invite you to let it wash over you and notice words or phrases that feel like little instructions or little taps on the shoulder from spirit. And then after I read it, I'll take a pause. And then if you would put in the chat a word or phrase that spoke to you. Back. This is, and also put in the chat. And I'll give in the resources, follow-up resources that'll go with this recording. I'll make sure that you have that. But here's the reading. Blessing for presence. Notice what spirit is calling you to. Awaken to the mystery of being here. And enter the quiet immensity of your own presence. Have joy and peace in the temple of your senses. Receive encouragement when new frontiers beckon. Respond to the call of your gift and the courage to follow its path. Let the flame of anger free you from all falsity. May warmth of heart keep your presence aflame. May anxiety never linger about you. May your outer dignity mirror an inner dignity of soul. Take time to celebrate the quiet miracles that seek no attention. Be consoled in the secret symmetry of your soul. And may your experience, excuse me, may you experience each day as a sacred gift woven around the heart of wonder. So, what did you notice? What feels like little instructions from Spirit or God to you this morning or this afternoon? You would put those in the chat. Let's silently enjoy those. I really appreciate how people heard different things, right? Oh, I love that so much. Thank you, beloveds. So that slowing down and that noticing, that slowing down and noticing with no agenda, with no goal, end goal, except to connect and listen, to be still, really sums up the core of spiritual direction. And if you would have told me, even 10 years ago, that I was going to be a spiritual director, I would not have really believed that, because stillness is not something that I'm known for. I'm somebody who loves to like go, go, go. And in the institutional ministry that I was a part of at the UUA, listening to our leaders, some of you, and to our lay leaders and other religious professionals was a big part of my job. So when people would cold call me, I would ask, with what ears would you like me to listen? With listening ears, with consulting ears, or with pastoral ears. And often it was coaching or consulting, but by the end of the conversation, it was definitely pastoral. And it was the kind of deep listening that honestly my seminary did not, I wasn't prepared for. I didn't feel prepared for, at least for definitely in this world. The anxiety was like anxiety I'd not seen before, and my heart was breaking for beloved leaders that I had such respect and care for. So I went to the Benedictines near me and said, please train me in deep listening. I need more. And Sister Lucy, who's known me for a very long time, said, oh, I will enroll you in spiritual direction. And I'm like a class for spiritual direction. I'm like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I don't want to be a spiritual director. And she goes, and she's like, okay, dear, that's fine. So I did the program and it absolutely like turned me inside out. Like I unlearned a bunch of things, I deconstructed, and then I reconstructed, and it changed my orientation. It changed my relationship with my beloveds. It changed the relationship with my family in a good way, in a really good way. With my children, I was like showing up in a differentiated, calm, big, loving way. And I wanted more of that. The other thing, I'm going to be really honest with you all. My former job, institutional ministry, was killing me. And when I say it was killing me, literally, like my doctor was like, you need to find something else. This is not good for you. I got a watch and an Apple Watch. Oh, excuse me, I had an accident. An Apple Watch, and it was will take like my vitals. And what I found is whenever I was in spiritual direction, it was as if I were meditating. Like when I'm in spiritual direction with somebody else, like I'm holding the space, calm, cool. I took these vitals to my doctor, and they were like, "Do whatever that is. That's do that for your living." So my family, we moved some things around, and that's what I do for a living. Now, I was also noticing somebody had asked about benchmarks for business as spiritual director. I did have benchmarks for institutional ministry. And I found I was often in a highlighted or a leader, like people knew, people I worked with, congregations I worked with. In spiritual direction, nobody knows my clients. I mean, HIPAA doesn't apply, but it's the same kind of confidentiality. And I'm not as any kind of, I don't have a microphone like I had in institutional ministry. I don't have what some people might think like a whole lot of power. What I had was actually more power in the world. And the people that I was, that were my clients in my private practice, were going off and doing these amazing things. I was like, what in the world? They were making more changes and having, here's the three things I noticed. It cultivated a spiritual courage, spiritual imagination, and a spiritual maturity that all my 20 years of working at the UUA, I was trying to get to those things, and it was happening in spiritual direction. And that's when I went to Elias at Meadville, and he often asked me, like, what are the trends? What's on the horizon? How should we change classes at Meadville to meet the need? And I said, spiritual direction, we have got to start a Unitarian Universalist spiritual direction program that is virtual, honestly. We had some pro a Unitarian Universalist program that didn't make it through the pandemic. Oof. And we have some others out there that I highly recommend. Like I want people, I want more Unitarian Universalist spiritual directors out meeting the need. And I'll get to some of the places I could see us serving in a moment. But that's what I'm attached to. My goal isn't the only benchmark I have is in 10 years, I want 150 Unitarian Universalists out serving the world. However that is. So if it's other programs, that's fine. We can talk about different programs. But Aaliyah said yes. He was so cute. He's like, we should get a committee together to create a curriculum. And I said, well, that's what I do in my spare time. Here's the curriculum. We're ready. And so we launched. And in May, we will commission our first round of spiritual directors from the program, which I'm so proud of that. So could people put the little heart, could you make a little heart if you've been in spiritual direction before? I don't know if I'd be able to see that. Yeah. Wait a minute. Oh, I asked for something. I don't know if we can make that happen. Oh, I love that. Kathy said she put a heart in the chat. That's great. That's great. Oh, yes. Okay. Fantastic. So put little hearts in the chat. If you've been in spiritual direction, so you know the power of it. Oh, I love this stuff so much. Okay. And somebody asked, what do you mean by institutional ministry? That's a great question. So there's parish ministry and there's community ministry, are like the two tracks, even though we don't have tracks, right? But I kept saying, I'm not so much a community minister, like out in the wider community. I serve the denomination. I was called to do that kind of ministry. I'm an institutional minister. I have always been called to serve people who are in the parishes. And actually, I've helped out a lot of people in organizations as well. So that's how I see as institutional minister. We don't have that track yet. I keep asking for it, but it's not high on my priority list. So that's what I mean. Thank you for those questions. Okay, so we have a lot of people who've had spiritual direction. That is fantastic. For more than a decade, that's great. Okay. If you are a spiritual director, would you put, I am, or I'm a spiritual director in the chat so we can kind of see who is among us? Oh, and somebody dreams that every UU minister has a training in spiritual direction. Yes. I've more come to believe. Some people have asked, like, what's the difference in chaplain? What's the difference? Like, I've got actually a grid on my, and I'll share that in the follow-up resources. There's some grids out there of what's the difference between a chaplain and pastoral counseling. Pastoral counseling. And there's spiritual coaching is something else that I'm hearing some more of. We're in a really juicy time. We're in a really juicy time. So the difference, this is how I see the difference. A chaplain, I should leave that for last because I've got a comment. Okay, so Terry says this is the definition of a pastoral counselor. A clinical practice that integrates both psychological and theological concepts into its framework. And it's not unlike other modes of therapy where it comes to the therapeutic process. What sets it apart is the way faith, spirituality, and theology are incorporated into the model. Pastoral counselors believe this incorporation of spiritual exploration and support can foster wholeness, healing, and growth in those who are seeking help. Amen. I would even have a pastoral counselor and a spiritual director because I can't get enough of this stuff. So that's like what a pastoral counselor does. And so and there still is the counseling piece. Like when I go to counseling, I have, here's where I am, here's where I want to be. I'm working through some stuff, right? And in therapy, here's where I am, here's where I want to be. I'm working through some stuff. At 12 steps, 12-step programs, I'm working through some stuff. And there still is that spiritual component. In pastoral care, and in a religious community, somebody from that community, whether it be a minister or a pastoral team, accompanies me on some sort of thing that's evolving. It can be my kid's going through some stuff and I don't know how to handle it myself. I need some pastoral care to help me figure out what does it mean for me as a Unitarian Universalist to go through these things. Or it can be something really great. I've got a new job and I'm trying to figure out how to instill my spirituality at work. Pastoral care might be one of those things that also can be worked out in spiritual direction. In chaplaincy, there's a context, a place, and usually it's something where like you need help with grounding or you need help with centering to help you being present in whatever that context is. Got it? And if you have other definitions, please put them in the chat. I'm totally open to that. In spiritual direction, it is time out of time with the God of your understanding. And the spiritual director holds that space. And it's usually not a one and done. It's over time. So like some of my clients, I just had a client this morning who I got to reflect back something that they said 2 years ago And so because I have this relationship with people, and my job is to listen closely, to reflect back, to help them slow down. Sometimes people come to me if they need to learn or they want to learn how to pray. It's so sweet. Or there's something going on in their life that they need some unjudgmental time to hear themselves with the divine. And so I'll often ask, huh, what does spirit think of that? Or where's God in that? Whatever the thing is. Those are probably the two things I ask a lot. And with my clients, we always open with a prayer, a poem, a piece of scripture, a song. And I'll sit with the before a client comes, I'll sit in prayer and I'll read through some notes that I wrote prior. And there's always confidential. I don't even think anybody would be able to read my writing. And I'll let a poem or a prayer come or a song that just kind of, so each session kind of does this really beautiful loop together. And other spiritual directors are different. My spiritual director, I can say who my spiritual director is, but she can't say who her clients are. But I will let you know. My spiritual director is Sarah Maldonado Salazar. And I have been with Sarah almost 15 years. And she does a lot of guided meditation with me. Brilliant. Oh my gosh. Absolutely brilliant. And so, yeah, so I go to her monthly, unless something really big is going on in my life that I need some extra care. So spiritual coaching. Oh, spiritual. See, that's another. So with spiritual directors, there isn't a, what's it called? A body that certifies that, like in chaplaincy, there's a body that you go to, that there's a whole process. There's so many units of CPE that you take. There's so many you've got to prove to a board, and then you get certified, board certification. There isn't that with spiritual direction. It's kind of Spiritual Directors International has a code of ethics, but there isn't a board that says, yes, you're a spiritual director, or you didn't make it, you didn't pass the test, or whatever. There isn't anything like that. I encourage people to ask when they see a when they're like, I'm gonna go see a spiritual director, that they ask where they got their training, who's their people, what's their lineage, that kind of thing. Because we're in a really flexible time where we don't have that certification. A spiritual coach is something that I'm seeing come up more so. Coach, like if you go to a physical coach, I'm going to go to the YMCA. We'll do like some, like, here's where I am. Again, here's where I want to go. See, these things have goals. Do you get that? And then a coach is going to help me get there. Or a spiritual coach who I just love is Jake Morrell. Wow. Systems. Man is amazing. So like if I have a systems issue and I need to work through and figure that out, I'll probably go to Jake as a spiritual coach. But a spiritual director, like when I go to Sarah, she's never like trying to get me somewhere. She's usually trying to get me slow down and just listen to myself. So are you seeing the differences there? And here's the thing. It is a big ecosystem, and the world needs all of that. So if you're somebody who really loves goals, coaching and that kind of stuff might be for you. Now, another area that I think is coming up. So I'm married to a minister. I'm pointing because their office is right there. I'm married to a minister, and she does some spiritual coaching with the for-profit world in Silicon Valley, whole other world. And her company, which is a for-profit company, they have a company covenant. And every Wednesday afternoon, they stop the work and they tend to their covenant. I've been trying to get congregations to do this for years and years. And here we have a for-profit in Silicon Valley who is doing this. Amazing. And they had talked about getting a chaplain. And as we talked about it more and more, what I really think they need now, no, I was also a development officer in another lifetime. And development officer is about mission because money follows mission. So I kind of took that. And I really believe what the company needs is a spiritual development officer. So keeping on mission as spirit is calling you and asking you to be. And it also, a spiritual development officer would also be very mindful of covenant as what are the ancestors of the company or the founders of the company? How are you being respectful to them? Being respectful to the people in the here and now and those yet to come, or perhaps even who would be your clients, right? To be mindful of that. Oh, there's, okay, I'm going to say that spirit liked that idea a lot. Don't know how those balloons happen, but there we go. So I'm telling you these things because there are so many places for, honestly, for Unitarian Universalism. Now, does my wife run around saying she's a UU minister and this is UU theology? No. She takes people where they are and loves them into something larger. And so if that excites you, there are places for you. Wow. Okay, so I just gave you a whole bunch of information. Take a deep breath and just see. I'm curious as to what's rising for you now and what kind of questions you might have. When somebody asked about an institutional minister, I think that I'm still very faithful to my call as an institutional minister because I know that so many of our leaders who are in spiritual direction, whether they be individual, and I always encourage congregations to pay for the spiritual direction of their minister, their religious educator, if they have one, and other professionals, including their board of directors. And there's a couple congregations who do have spiritual directors for their board of directors because it helps us birth what's rising. So I talked about deconstruction and reconstruction about myself. Our institutions are doing that too, not just Unitarian Universalism, but religious institutions all over the place. And what's required, I think this is probably Gil Rendell. I don't know if I can even own this, but is a spiritual imagination for what's rising, a spiritual maturity for really understanding it, and then that spiritual courage for doing the next right thing and allowing what needs to go away, go away, and what rises. And that's what our congregations need. That's what our institutions need. And I just think spiritual direction is the best tool right now, among a whole lot of others. Okay. Interesting. We've got a lot of spiritual directors on. That's so good. And this is supposed to be a conversation, and I've just said a whole lot, so I'm going to be quiet. And if people want to unmute and testify or ask some questions or I'm all for the struggle too. So if I've said something, you're like, that is not my experience. Well, bring it. What is your experience? Oh, the program at Meville. I will in a moment. Thank you very much, Anne. How do I define spiritual for yourself and how do you describe it in a different way for different types of clients? Oh, I go where they are. So the very first time that I meet with somebody, we'll ask a lot of questions. We might do like a spiritual autobiography because, spirit's not static in our lives. And I'll ask how they define what is the God of their understanding? What is that like? Even for, I've got some folks who define themselves as rather secular, even though they see a spiritual director. Very interesting, isn't that? And so I go where they are and I use terms that they use because that's what I'm trying to connect them to, the God of their understanding. And that's another reason I think Unitarian Universalists are so awesome at this, right? Because we have so many different understandings of the divine and what that could be, the possibilities in people's lives. What we do need to work on more is grief. There's a lot of grief, people working through a lot of grief in spiritual direction, especially now. And so it's not always optimistic. It can be painful to accompany somebody who is being ripped apart. And I don't do that work for them. I build their capacity. I don't be their capacity. And that can be really hard. And so I've got to be mindful of my own spiritual practices and stay grounded. How do you describe? Okay, there's some really juicy questions. Okay, here we go. I'll get to my definition of spiritual direction. No, let me just do it right now. My definition of spirituality. It's my relationship with the divine is my spirituality. It's the practices, as I think of the spirituality is my relationship with the divine. And then my practices are those things that tone down Kairos time, the rules and regulations of this thing called human society, and also the isms, the oppressions that society has created, humans have created, toning that down so that I can better hear Kairos time, the what is spirit asking of me? What is my relationship to the divine? I find a lot of that in nature because birds and trees do not care about Kronos time. They're all about God's time, the God of my understanding. And then religion is that the community that we create around Kairos time. Although I know our people don't, people need more of that, I believe. I hope that helps. So, but I love that. I would love to put a fire in the fireplace, get some hot tea, and have everybody tell me what is your definition of spirituality and how does that show up in your life? What are some hard decisions you've had to make time for spirituality or to prioritize that in your life? Whoa. Yeah, I'm here for that. You're doing spiritual coaching. Okay, the program at Meadville, it's a 2-year program. It's entirely virtual. My guiding values for the program is hospitality, liberation. That's taking apart those layers of Kairos time in order to, excuse me, of Kronos time in order to make way for Kairos time. Liberation and sustainability. Is this doable? Is there balance? All that is really important when I built the program out for people. So we meet entirely online. 2-year program. Each term is 15 weeks, and we go back and forth between gathering together online. And the first year is practicing a lot of the exercises or ways that we are with people, we're practicing. And then when we gather the second term, it's for peer supervision because they're doing their practicum with practice clients. And then the other weeks when we're not gathering, there are a learning service management, what do we call it? We call it populate. People are online and there are readings and podcasts and going deeper questions that people work through in their own time. So that's how it goes. It's spread out for integration and formation. That's why. And we have on May 4th is our commissioning. Our first commissioning, and you all are invited. I'll make a big fuss about it on Facebook. I'm so excited. I'm so wildly proud of these folks. I know that there's some folks in the program who are here. If you want to say anything about the program, testify, you are welcome to. I'll be quiet for a moment. In case you want to, you don't have to. want to put anything in the chat, you can do that too. And there's some other really good programs. There's some, like, if you want to, if being together face to face is important to you, there are some that do that either the entire time or get together online or get together and then face to face, and then some is online. That's fine. There's some that have very specific schools of theology, if that's important to you. I know, like, Cherry Hill is very pagan. It's wonderful, very UU friendly and very pagan. And there's also some programs where it's a mentorship kind of model. So you start practicing from the very beginning, and you have a mentor who meets with you regularly. So there's so much creativity in the field right now for preparation. And if anybody wants to talk more about what, if you're interested in being a spiritual director and you want to talk, do a little bit of, like, what program could be best for you, then just I'm down for that kind of virtual tea. Suppose more for marketing. Oh, I missed what the, wait, Tay, do you define spiritual and how do you describe it in different ways for different types of clients, or suppose for marketing? You know, I thought I was going to have to market. I have a website. It's a really bad website. Please don't even, there's other websites that are beautiful. I'll put some of the websites in the follow-up materials. But the UU Spiritual Directors Network. So if you go to uusdn.org, there's a whole list of people who are UUs and spiritual directors and went to a school that the UU Spiritual Directors Network recognizes. And you'll see all kinds. And I encourage you to, like, if you're looking for, like, marketing, there's some fantastic websites out there. Wow. I find people find me from word of mouth. That's how. So I had a full, before I started the program, before I started the spiritual directors program at Meadville, which is a 30-hour a week job, I had a full load of clients. I had 30, either 31 or 32 clients, a little over 30. And that was a lot. To handle, because it's a special kind of listening. So, like, you don't go, like, an hour with somebody, then another hour. You don't, that would not be, as Sister Lucy says, a good way of taking care of the way God made me. Couldn't do that. So spreading people out, clients out over time. And they mostly found me from word of mouth. Yep. One thing, here's a marketing thing that I love, is finding your the affinity groups of your heart. So I used to be a teacher, a public school teacher, and watching the teachers in the pandemic, I was like, oh my God, you poor things. It was breaking my heart. So I started offering retreats for spiritual or for teachers for free. And what I did is, like, while I was waiting for my kid in sports for I was waiting for Kepler in swimming, I would just start pulling from what people's websites, schools' websites, teachers' information. And so then I had a database of the affinity group of my heart. So you find what's the affinity group of your heart. Maybe it's public defenders. Maybe it's climate activists. Maybe it's a school board chairs. I don't know, whatever it is. And then I invited them to a specific retreat designed for them. And I had a good idea as to what that retreat could be because I have been a teacher. I know, like, what I would have wanted. And people came. And it was so, oh, and also, actually, I did this before the pandemic as well, but I doubled down during. The church, the UU church locally, said, oh, of course you can use our congregation. It's a win-win because then people are in their doors wondering, what is this congregation? And I was offering it for free. And then later, do you think I got clients from that? Oh yeah. People are like, what is this thing? And I can meet with you. And you already know what teachers deal with. And oh wait, no, that's not a that's not that. It's this. Make it go like that. Okay, never mind. It worked. I'm saying, no matter what that thing said. So finding the affinity of your heart, the group that works with you, and people will find you. Another niche that I did not expect to have is, so on my Facebook, a lot of my Facebook friends are people from my small town that I grew up in. There's a reason I left my small town. I'm queer. It's not a great place to be queer. A lot of my niche clients are parents whose kids have just come out. This is not a niche that I would have went, oh yeah, I want to do that, because I left for a reason. And it's one that I know Spirit has. I'm so grateful. I am so grateful. You can see like the tears are coming. I love helping parents who all of a sudden don't know what to do, whose religions might be telling them one thing, but I know scripture and I am happy to go head to head, toe to toe with whatever scripture, Leviticus crap they're being fed, and to help them open up in a different way. I guess I do have an agenda that way. But is that okay? I think it's okay. They've come to me because their kids are queer and they don't know what to do and they want to love their kids. So I help them do that. Okay. Wow. Okay. Now I can't see. I'm a crier. Oh, group. Oh, wait. Okay. I'm going to go up some marketing tips or ideas as to what to look for in a spiritual director training program. Oh, tips. Well, there's a whole bunch. Somebody was talking about making a, like they had made grids themselves, and I'd be great if they just publicize those. I would get clear, like, is face to face being in, being together, if that's important to you, or accessibility, if that's important to you. Honestly, price is a big deal. Is that, that's also, I would ask programs, and you can tell from their websites what values they lead with. Are those your values as well? You could ask for like what kinds of things they're going to learn. Are those things that you also are interested in learning? Those kind of things I would look at. And I'm a highly intuitive person, so I go with intuition. However, I went with the Benedictines because I knew who they were in my, and I already had a relationship with them. And I wanted to be in a program where there weren't Unitarian Universalists. I wanted to be able to be kind of incognito. The people in this first class at Meadville are all Unitarian Universalists, and have many of them have multiple relationships, and they love each other very well. They went deep very quickly. And so that's been really sweet to watch. The next incoming class, we just opened up registration, but I already had people who were like, I'm coming in, are some folks from other traditions now who want to be trained by the UUs because they say that we know how to code switch better than anyone. So I'm like, come on in. So I think that's a very exciting, very exciting. And then Rebecca, if you want to have more of a conversation later, I'm so down for it. I'll make sure that my Calendly is in the follow-up. Okay. Interested in learning more about group spiritual direction. Is there something you can speak about? Yes. So when I did like the teacher retreat, that was very much in group super, excuse me, group spiritual direction. In group spiritual direction, it's like a kissing cousin to small group ministry. I love small group ministry for so many reasons, and I don't think we utilize the power of it entirely. In group supervision, you help as the spiritual director, I hold a container for people to listen to each other deeply. Online, I wouldn't do more than seven people in a small in group super, excuse me, group spiritual direction. In when it was face to face, the groups that I had, they'd have between five and seven. That's really kind of a sweet spot because that gives people time to speak as they are inspired, and then for people to reflect back what they hear. So here's just an example. I did a group for clergy of any kind, clergy going through transition. And I had designed, it was for 9 months, and I had designed songs and poems that would open up each that kind of went to an arc of change. And each time we would have a reading and then go around, we'd go around a couple times, and people would reflect back what they heard. About 3 sessions in, they would take turns talking about the change in their life. And so they would talk for 20 minutes without being interrupted. And then after that time of talking, there might be questions of what are evocative questions, not fixing questions, not me too kind of questions, like, oh, let me tell you about the time that happened to me too. Not those kind of questions, but evocative questions that help that person listen more deeply to themselves. And then the next round of mirroring is, what are they hearing that person saying? What is a metaphor that rises or a prayer that rises? And then we might ask, what does that person need? The person that just shared, what do they need from the group once we really get to know the group? And it might be a prayer, it might be silence, it might be a specific kind of witnessing. And it might be, tell me advice, because now you know me really deeply. It might be that. But rarely, it usually is the mirroring, because once you have that kind of, it's amazing. It's like a soul massage. You don't get that in other places of your life. Although, my family tells me I've stopped fixing stuff. It's a huge relief. My child, I've kind of ruined. I've got a 15-year-old, and he's like, oh God, here comes the metaphors. Because he'll tell me something, and then I'll just keep handing the work back to him and being, I don't know, I think it makes me a better mother. Yeah, okay. So ideas for, does that help, Melissa? That's kind of what a spirit, yeah, group spiritual direction is. I think it's fantastic for boards. So an idea of having, if you were a spiritual director for a congregation, that board of having 2 different board meetings a month. One is for the spiritual direction, just to explore, how does this kind of service, this kind of leadership, what does this teach me about being a Unitarian Universalist? Not in a religious education, open your brain, learn more facts kind of way, but how does this help me make sense of my understanding, make meaning of my own life as a Unitarian Universalist? So small group ministry as the, or small, excuse me, I keep using that. The group spiritual direction for the board. And then the next meeting is the business meeting. And that spiritual director might just sit there more. It's then kind of almost a chaplain mode, might sit and help the grounding, help the board ground and center before. And then if they need times to breathe, just kind of stop and go, okay, maybe let's take a moment and just breathe together before we make this big decision. What is spirit calling of us? Those kind of things. Can you imagine? Yeah. Okay. I saw Wellsprings, the well UU Wellsprings congregation right outside of Philadelphia. They had a spiritual director for a hot minute when Ken Beldon was their minister. I was companioning them for something else as that when I was the growth strategist for the UUA. And they had a spiritual director companion their board because they were making some big decisions. And I don't think they have one now. I wish they did. I wish everybody did. Wellsprings has a major, has, yes, Wellsprings. And we'll make sure that is in the follow-up. If you don't know what Wellsprings is, it's a program for going way deeper with what is Unitarian Universalism and helps people. It's a program for congregations, so you can get training to be a trainer of Wellsprings within your congregation. But they've also brilliantly have made a program online for people, individuals who don't have it in their congregation, and for religious professionals, because you really can't do it with your people, right? But ministers crave this stuff too. We should have access. So they made it available. And one of the requirements of being in Wellsprings, brilliant, is you have to have a spiritual director. So some spiritual directors get kind of a, if you go through Wellsprings and you're like, this is one of the best things ever, you might want to marry it with spiritual direction. And that can be like one of your specialties is companioning people who are in Wellsprings.
Candy, we have about
Yeah.
7 minutes left, and just
Okay.
to help you sort through these questions, I see that
Please.
there are two that you might consider. One is a practical matter. Do you have recommended liability insurance like coaches have? And
Yes.
another question about what insights or wisdom you might have about spiritual direction in congregational ministry for congregation.
Okay. Yes, I have liability insurance, and it's through Spiritual Directors International. That's one of the great things about being a member of Spiritual Directors International, which is just what it sounds like. It's not a, they don't have the, they don't tell us what to do, but they have a code of ethics that we abide by that are brilliant, and I think. And they have a conference and a magazine. I should have got it. And they have a lot of ongoing education, and they connect us in different ways. And one of the things that they offer members is liability insurance. You can, I pay for it, but it's like it's less than 200 a year. So it's great. There's that. And I also have signed up for my business. I'm signed with our state. I'm in Washington State, so I have to kind of watch what the laws are in each of the states. So I pay taxes and do that. I'm not great with the business side. My wife is, so she takes care of that. I'm be honest about that. Some people, like Adam Robersmith, who's really smart with it, he's doing the module for our program on the business side of it, ethical business, and how do you do all the parts that I don't do well. And then the other insights for being in a congregation. It would be difficult to be a, I have a hard time imagining being a spiritual director hired by a congregation for the whole congregation. Because how would you feel? You, like I just said, 30 clients, that was a lot. And so if you've got a congregation of 150, then you have 120 people who are saying, well, how come I can't have the spiritual director time? What's up with that? Right? So that doesn't, I don't see how that would work. If it's for specific, like if you are, you could be the spiritual director hired by a congregation for the specific leaders, designated leaders of a congregation. I think that would be really smart. If I were a congregation, I would want my leaders to have access to that. They would just make better decisions and be more whole, holy, and present, right? And that's also, I think, a really nice benefit to it. So, when people say, oh, we can't get leaders, well, this might be a way. That's one way. And I know there's a congregation up north from me, Shoreline, who has space in their building, and they have like five different spiritual directors who use the spaces and then give back so many hours to the congregation. I'm not exactly sure how that works. I'm still kind of like, but what if I were somebody who didn't have access? How would I feel? So I have to figure that part out. Does that help? Sometimes one of my gifts is creativity, is seeing things. And so sometimes people will have a tea with me as they're trying to figure out what are different, what is their affinity group, how are ways that they can build a business. I love doing that. Jake Morrill is also somebody who's really creative with business stuff. Maybe get in with him if you're looking to figure out like, how can I make this a business? Oh, people probably want to know, oh, how much? So the UUMA has specific fees, and I go by the fees, right? So I have a couple clients who are in larger congregations who pay $150 an hour. I pay my director $165 an hour, and it is the best money I spend all year, or excuse me, all month. There are, and then I have a sliding scale. So I know that there's like some community ministers who hardly make anything, and I have a sliding scale for them. And I have somebody in Tacoma who is chronically homeless, and she buys me coffee and we call it good. And she's probably stretching more than the 150 folks. So that's how I do it. I was making about 40,000 when I had a monthly client base of, 30. I think that's about what I made after taxes. Yeah. So could I, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, Tandy.
No, go right ahead.
While you're speaking to the business side in just these last couple of minutes, could you say that one of the things that distinguishes chaplaincy and spiritual direction is that spiritual directors are by and large self-employed at this juncture, whereas chaplains can be employed by organizations?
That is exactly right. That is exactly right. Self-employed, I choose who my clients are. There's really a loveliness in that freedom to do that, but it is definitely self-employed and all the things that go with it. I'm not great with the business side of it, so I just find people in my life who are, and we kind of barter.
And then there's this last question that maybe is an easy one to end on, which is how frequently you meet with clients typically.
Monthly. I meet with people monthly. Yep. And I meet with my spiritual director monthly. Sometimes we might take like a season off, by a season like a couple months off, but it's typically monthly. Yeah.
Great. I think that that is it. And we have covered many things from the technical to the theological to the spiritual to the communal. And you've been so generous meeting all of us where we are, receiving these questions, sharing your experience,
So
sharing
good
your
to be with
wisdom.
you.
Thank you, Tandy. We're grateful. And I hope you see all the appreciation coming through
I
in.
do. Thank you. This has been such a delight. I'm thrilled that there's such an interest in spiritual direction, and I'm glad to be connected to you all. So don't hesitate to reach out here as you need me.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming today.